Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth against Stephen. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together upon him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the liturgical year of the Church, we are brought repeatedly through the mysteries of the life of Jesus. Again and again and again, we meditate on his life. We begin with the joy of his coming, which we celebrate at Advent and Christmas time, when he's born as a little child of the Virgin Mary. Then, in the liturgical season of Lent, we enter into the sorrow of his passion, especially when we make the Stations of the Cross. Holy Week finds us intensely focusing on the last week of his life before his crucifixion, his entry into Jerusalem with the triumphant cries of Hosanna in the highest, the mystery of the Last Supper, when he gives his body, his blood, his soul and divinity, his real presence in the Eucharist, and he gives us the priesthood, his betrayal, his arrest, and finally his cruel and unjust punishment, his death on the cross. Then the liturgical season moves us into Easter, as we celebrate his resurrection from the dead, the glory of his ascension. The liturgical year moves us year after year after year through the mysteries of the life of Christ. In fact, each week we move through the mysteries of his life when we pray the rosary. In the rosary we have the meditation upon the mysteries of the life of Jesus, the joyful mysteries of his coming, the luminous mysteries of his teaching and his miracles, the sorrowful mysteries of his suffering and death, and the glorious mysteries of his resurrection and ascension, and so on. And we come to meditate upon these mysteries. That's like the interior life of the rosary. The exterior life of the rosary are the prayers, the Our Father and the Hail Mary. Meditating upon the mysteries of the life of Christ are very important. It's as if the Church, in its very liturgical life, is telling us that thinking about the mysteries of the life of Jesus are very important. The apostles of Jesus meditated upon the mysteries of the life of Christ often. For them, Christ was everything. Because of his resurrection, they now were certain he is Lord. And because he rose, they then realized they had to pay great attention to everything he said while he was with them on the earth, and everything he did. If they had a rosary, they probably would have had over 5,000 mysteries. They would have thought of, remember when he walked on the water, remember how he cured the blind man and multiplied the loaves and the fishes, remember how he expelled demons. And they prayed in union with Our Lady. Their meditation upon the mysteries in the life of Christ kept them in touch with reality, because God is the fullness of reality. In the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about the martyrdom of Saint Stephen. Now, there are two major ways to interpret this situation, the martyrdom of Stephen. Either Stephen was in the wrong place, at the wrong time, involved in the wrong cause, and he aggravated the wrong people. His life is out of control. Or Stephen is a saint, wiser than all of the people around him, wiser than all of his opponents, a faithful servant of God. He is right. He is saying the right words at the right time. His life is set upon a good path. Well, this is what it is. He is a saint. And Saint Stephen knows that he is on the right path. He says in this reading, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Think of the words he says. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's saying these words while he's going to be put to death, while he's being beaten and stoned. Lord, do not hold this sin against him. These are the words of a man who is confident. They're not the words of a man who is desperately trying to cling to his life and realizing he made a mistake. No, he's the words of a confident man. He's speaking these words of confidence and of joy. He knows where he's going. He knows that he is on the right path, that his life is not out of control. On the contrary, his opponents who are attacking him, their lives are out of control because they are still in their sins. When we are in sin, our lives are out of control. Stephen is in holiness. He's in grace, a state of grace. He sees Jesus. His life is not out of control. He's on the path of goodness, the path of light. How is it possible for St. Stephen to be confident when he is surrounded by angry people who have power over him, people who hate him, when the odds are against him, clearly, when he is going to suffer and to die? How is it possible for him to be confident? Well, the answer is simple. It is his devotion to the Lord Jesus that gives him confidence. By his devotion to Christ, Stephen knows that Jesus Christ is with him, that Jesus is Lord. He knows that life, suffering, and death are taken up into the mystery of Jesus Christ the Lord. Stephen knows that when he experiences the things of life, suffering, and death, he is one with Christ who is risen in glory. He is one with the one who is victorious over all evil, the one who owns the mystery of life, death, and new life. And therefore, Stephen knows he is on the right path, because he is on the way of Jesus Christ. Now here is a good and simple lesson for us. Right now, our number one priority should be our devotion to the Lord Jesus. Nothing's more important right now. In the 1400s, the great Thomas A. Kempis wrote a wonderful work called The Imitation of Christ. And in the beginning, he speaks about our devotion to Jesus. If we want to see our way truly, never a trace of blindness left in our hearts, it is his life, his character, we must take for our model. Clearly then, we must make it our chief business to train our thoughts upon the life of Jesus Christ. Those words are right at the beginning of the work, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. He's telling us that our chief business is to focus our mind on the life of Jesus Christ. In other words, to meditate upon the mysteries of Christ. Life, as you know, can be a bit strange at times. Things can happen that we don't like. Things can trouble us and weigh us down. You know, if you think about it, none of us really know what the future can bring to any of us. We really don't know what's around the corner. So, we should imitate St. Stephen and really devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're devoted to Christ, you realize that what's around the corner is Jesus, and he's there blessing and loving you. Our number one priority right now is not to have things our way, is not to control our life circumstances. Our number one priority is to follow Christ, is to let him be the Lord of our lives and the Lord of our circumstances. Our number one priority is to know him, to follow his teaching, to worship him. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is above everything. He is above the past, the present, and the future. He is above your past, he's above your present, and he is above your future. He has all the power. Let us live in the light of Jesus Christ. By prayer, repenting of our sins, trusting in God, and loving one another. In this way, we shall go on with confidence and joy, knowing that we are on the right path, the path of truth, the path of grace, knowing that we are on the path of the saints and the path that leads to eternal life in heaven. God bless you.